They get their two big stars back. Meanwhile, there goes Henry. There goes Henry all the way for the touchdown. 44 yards. So the Steelers trying to climb back in the game, and the Ravens go take that.
This is second and goal. Roethlisberger looks, crosser, Brown, he caught it, fights to the goal line, breaks the plane! Touchdown, Pittsburgh! That might win them the division!
Great drive.
Second and five, and of course, Flacco will milk the clock as far down as he can. 3:25 and ticking down in the fourth. He gets knocked down, and the ball is loose, and it's Polamalu. It's picked up by Woodley, and he gets taken down to the 10-yard line. Huge, huge play. Flacco going back, and unless that arm was coming forward, this will stand.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Picked off Polamalu. Polamalu going right. The field is open. Aaron Smith shields. Flacco. Polamalu takes it home. Super Bowl 43. Pittsburgh might be bound for that, thanks to number 43.
Here we go, baby. A football Friday. Possibly for the Steelers, the final football Friday of their season. Steelers, Ravens, Sunday night, Acrisure Stadium, 8:20. Pre-game coverage on the Fan starts at 5, runs until kickoff. I will be joined by Jeff Hathorn, Mark Cabali. If you can't get up for this game, you need to check yourself a little bit. We have seen a fever pitch from fans all season, and it reached a crescendo against the Bills on that final weekend in November. And I still get the feel, and it's unbelievable to me, that the Steelers are in a winner-take-all in the AFC North game on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens, and it still feels like there are plenty of people that say, eh, who cares? I hope they lose. I don't get it. It's Donnie Football with you on 93.7 The Fan until 2. Our guy Austin Bechtold, City Limits, is behind the glass. We do have our Friday usuals lined up. Ray Fittipaldo joins us in an hour. Nick Kostos joins us at noon. We will also chat with Rob Long from the Big Bad Morning Show in Baltimore. He gives us a view from the other side at 1 p.m. We will have a Bechtold breakdown at 12:30. Austin and I will even do a little bit of a numbers game at 11:30, even though we are minus Joe Starkey today, who's taking off for the holiday, and of course, our pick segment to finish things up. And you can join the conversation, as always, at 412-928-9370. So many ways to take in the shows now that we are into 2026. Old school radio, maybe you listen out of market on the Odyssey app. Maybe you tune in to our live video on YouTube where the chat is already off and running. And again, Austin, per usual with me, more questions as to how authentic my voice actually is.
You a little under the weather, Donnie?
A little bit, but I'm on the other side of it.
On the climb back.
Yeah. It was worse around this time last week, like around last weekend. You can also watch the shows now live on Twitter, and you can follow us there on X at 93.7 The Fan. This is still one of the best rivalries in the NFL to me. There may be a few that have now jumped over it, or at least for the time being. You think of any time the Bills and Chiefs play in a big game, it's a big one. Or maybe you get something like the Eagles and Rams, like not your traditional divisional rivalries. But the Steelers and Ravens, for a feud that has only been going on for 30 years now, it has been one of the best in football. I don't know if I would say the absolute best at this current time. At a certain time it was, late 2000s into the 2010s, nothing beat it. It is a matchup that has spurred some of my fondest memories through childhood, my teenage years, into my adulthood. You think and you hear some of those calls from that montage that Austin put together. The 2008 AFC Championship game. Troy Polamalu's pick six sends Pittsburgh to Super Bowl 43. Their last Super Bowl victory. By the way, we were coming up on the 17-year anniversary of that by the time we hit February 1. The 2010 AFC Divisional Playoff game. The Steelers down by two scores in the second half. They come storming back. Antonio Brown, at the time, a relatively unknown wide receiver, a rookie wide receiver in what was the Steelers' most loaded wide receiver room maybe ever. His first lasting memory with a Steelers uniform on, catching a football and holding it to the side of his helmet, setting up the game-winning touchdown. Another Antonio Brown play. Christmas Day, 2016, the Immaculate Extension. A game on that day that played out to really be the AFC North Championship. I know there was still a week to go in the regular season at that time, but that was the de facto division championship game, and the Steelers won it. Trailed by two scores again in the second half. The Killer Bees went off in that final quarter. Big Ben led one of his best game-winning drives of his Hall of Fame career. 2017, Sunday Night Football, a couple of weeks following the Ryan Shazier injury. Same sort of scenario. AFC North on the line. Who is going to get the footing in the AFC North? A late December game. Again, Steelers trailing by two scores in the second half, and they won. 2021, Big Ben's final season. The Ravens come in as a team with firm control of the division. They would end up being a team that at the time of arrival was 8-3. They would miss the playoffs. The Ravens came in with Lamar Jackson playing some of their best football. The Steelers beat them and derailed their season 20-19. John Harbaugh and his team went for it. A two-point conversion to win the football game. They did not get it. So many great memories and great moments in this feud on both sides. They could be talking about this in Baltimore this morning the same way that I am right now, and they could be listing off some great moments on the Ravens side of this rivalry. And I'm just talking about games that are being played in Pittsburgh. 2007, Monday Night Football. Big Ben throws five touchdowns in the first half in a rout of the Ravens. How about 7 years later, 2014, Sunday Night Football. Big Ben throws six touchdown passes against the Baltimore Ravens as he capped off one of the most impressive two-game stretches by a quarterback in league history, after throwing six touchdowns the week prior. This should feel like a big deal because it almost always is. And it's a big deal again on Sunday night. The Ravens and the Steelers are playing a win or go home game. This basically is a playoff game, 1 week before the playoffs are actually underway. The winner of this game wins the AFC North. They get a home game next weekend. The Ravens have been the team that have started to dominate the AFC North a little bit. You sprinkle in the Bengals a bit. The Steelers have their last division championship back in 2020. But this is for all the marbles in the division. And I'm not going to act as if this game will propel either team, especially the Steelers in this case, to a Super Bowl run or a Super Bowl appearance. But guys, can't we just get a little bit excited about a game that has some high stakes? A regular season game with some high stakes? If I told you in August that the Steelers and the Ravens would have a game in week 18 with the AFC North on the line, I think you would take that every single time. Don't lie to yourself. And you could say, well, we all expected the Ravens to be great. I thought they would be great. I thought the Ravens would be like a 14-win football team. I couldn't have been more wrong about them. Defense was vastly overrated. Lamar Jackson got hurt early. He's never really been right since then. He's been a very mediocre QB since the midway point of the season. So yeah, it was easy to think, oh, well, that's not going to happen. So don't even give me that hypothetical. A winner-take-all AFC North game week 18 against the Ravens? That won't happen. Yeah, the Ravens had a disappointing season, there's no doubt. They should be highly disappointed with how things have gone for them throughout the 2025 campaign. But the Steelers, yet again, they're right here. At home with an opportunity in prime time to win the AFC North. Austin, I'll throw it to you, and you can chime in and join the conversation at 412-928-9370, because I get the feel that even in a game like this, there are plenty of people out there who either A, are going to call in and say, I don't care if the Steelers win, and or B, are actually secretly rooting for them to lose this game on Sunday as if it will spur any sort of change. Listen, they hit that 9-win mark. I don't think that change is happening. The only way would be if the coach goes out on his own volition. They're going to say same old after this year. And yeah, that'll be frustrating. But if your mindset is, well, if they lose this game, then Tomlin's going to go. That's a hypothetical that's truly a hypothetical. That's not going to happen. But Austin, if I told you back in August, before this season started, no matter what the team's records were, if the Steelers and Ravens were playing in Week 18 and the winner would win the AFC North, you take that 10 out of 10 times.
You take it. You would take it, especially because it's never happened before. This is the first winner-take-all Steelers-Ravens we have ever seen in the history of the rivalry, which spans back 20-plus years. So regarding your hypothetical real quick, it's also how they lose this game if something would happen with the coach. Like, are they losing by 21 and the atmosphere inside the stadium is very toxic, where the coach basically says, you know what, maybe it is time for me to move on. But if they lose on like a game-winning field goal by the Ravens or something like that, that doesn't move the needle. That really doesn't change anything. So it's how you contextualize what a loss would be. But going into Steelers-Ravens, I feel like both fan bases feel like they're in a very similar position. You win, you go to the playoffs, that's great, extra home game. But how much of a chance do you have going into the playoffs against very strong wild card teams this year? Which I give the Steelers a chance. I'm not saying they have no opportunity against the Bills or no opportunity against Houston or potentially Jacksonville. But I think that's also a caveat you can't leave out when assessing the matchup. But yeah, Steelers-Ravens end of the year for the division, I'd take it anytime.
Yeah, I mean, we get a game in the final week of the season that could potentially give the Steelers a home playoff game. I mean, I know that the way here on the journey has been pretty rocky. It's been very up and down. They are coming off an extremely disappointing loss on Sunday in Cleveland. But I just can't get behind the thought of, well, they're not going to win it all, so I don't want them to win this game. I mean, realistically, there's only ever a few teams that have a chance to win it all. Because as much as we want to compare this team to what happened 20 years ago, it's just not that same team. It's really not that team in any way, shape, or form. They just all happen to play for the same organization. But there's only ever maybe half the teams that actually get into the playoff field that truly have a chance to win the whole thing. So I'm not going to have the mindset of, well, I don't see them actually raising the Lombardi Trophy, so I'd rather them just lose. I don't want more Steelers football. I always want more football. You only get 17 of these guaranteed. You get 18 weeks of a season, you get 17 games guaranteed. You have a chance to get that extended, even by a week. And I know that the mediocrity that has reached the levels of the playoffs, the downright bad football we've seen in the playoffs for the last better part of a decade, going on 9 years, yeah, that will be disappointing. They could make it, they could get beat up like they have. In the last 8 seasons, we could come back around and have that conversation yet again. And I will say it's disappointing, absolutely. We can push for change because, you know, there is a need for a breath of fresh air. I'm just telling you that it's very unlikely to happen. They are a team playing for their division title on Sunday. They are fortunate to be in that position. Did they benefit from Baltimore having a down year? Absolutely. Did they benefit from Joe Burrow missing half of the season? Absolutely. You don't have to apologize for that. I doubt that either team or any of the 3 other teams in the AFC North felt all that bad in 2019 when Big Ben blew out his elbow. And the Steelers were 2 years removed from 13 wins. They were coming off a season in which they miss games by a field goal, lose games by a field goal. But if they would have gotten in, they were that classic, if they get in, they could actually cause some damage in 2018. But they were still in that time with a franchise quarterback that was still a good enough player that would always have them in the conversation. I doubt the Ravens or the Bengals or the Browns felt all that bad in 2019 when they didn't have them. I doubt those teams have felt all that bad since his retirement when the Steelers have failed to figure out who the quarterback is. The Steelers got to the playoffs with Mason Rudolph a couple of years ago, leading a late season charge. They had to go through that season with Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. Do you think the Ravens or Bengals or Browns felt bad about that? No, nor should they. So we're in a situation where I don't really care how they got here. The fact is, they got here. The vibes are so low because they're coming off a bad loss. They were coming off a bad loss the final week of November. And then they won 3 consecutive games. And I bet they sucked a lot of you right back in. They got me back in. They go on the road. They beat a very desperate Detroit Lions team, which I know is not a playoff team. But to that point, they needed every win they could get. They shut down one of the most electrifying running backs in the league to 2 yards. They beat the Ravens in Baltimore. They dominate the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. And you're going to say, yeah, well, none of those teams are playoff teams. They got the wins in some tough spots. They beat a Ravens team that was surging and gaining ground on them in the AFC North. They beat a Dolphins team that had won four consecutive games. And Devon Achane was showing some of the best play out of the backfield in the NFL. They beat a Lions team on the road that won 15 games last year, and they were playing for their playoff lives in week 16. Yeah, the loss in Cleveland sucked. I am not giving them a pass on that game. It was a terrible loss. I was very annoyed at how last weekend went. The Ravens went into Lambeau Field and they dominated. The Steelers failed to take care of business against the Browns. I thought they played very scared in that game, and it bit them. They were afraid of one particular player on that Browns defense. He was able to have a massive impact without doing really anything on the stat sheet because they were that focused on that guy, and they paid the price for it. Aaron Rodgers played a terrible game. They didn't have DK Metcalf. They won't have Metcalf again. But all of that being said, as Jekyll and Hyde as this season has gone, the Steelers have a division championship game on Sunday that I feel like more people should be able to get up for. I know that Crowley did it a little bit this morning. I don't like telling people how to act as fans really in the stadium. You know, you can boo, chant, whatever you want. But I just get the feel that in a game like this in the past, we would have been excited about it. And it just doesn't feel like it has that right now. We should be. And maybe Sunday night in the stadium, it will be electric. You get a primetime game with the AFC North on the line. But I want to get the vibe from you out there at 412-928-9370. Do you even want them to win on Sunday? Because I feel like there are plenty of people that are going to call in or maybe even more texting on the text line that say, I don't care if they win. It would be better if they lose. 412-928-9370. Chris will kick us off. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Donnie. I think that I was talking with Limits. As a Steeler fan, of course, you want to see them win. That's kind of a given. But I think that people are tired of the mediocrity. People are tired of the 9-8 seasons. And I don't think it's going to make a difference one way or the other, whether they win or lose. But I think that people see any kind of a change that could happen is only going to happen if they lose. I mean, let's face it, they win this game, they win the AFC, and then they go on to a home playoff game and possibly win that. There's definitely, I think, no chance, unless Tomlin decides to remove himself and decides to resign at that point, that Rooney's going to say, well, yeah, let's fire him after he's just won. Yeah, we won a home playoff game for the first time in, what, 10 years now? I don't think that is what people want to see. I think people are tired of the standard. People are tired of the message, and they want to see a change.
And they put this team together. Thanks for the call, Chris. I remember over the summer, and I was thinking, man, they're kind of going all in on this. And then they came a step or two shy of that, and I had to retract a bit on that statement and think they're not really going all in on a Super Bowl. If they were going all in on anything, it felt like they were doing that just to win a playoff game. Like, hey, we got to get that monkey off our back before we do anything else. And I know the frustration grows more when you hear something like that because you're thinking, well, the standard used to be winning Super Bowls. It used to be winning AFC championship games. And now all it is winning a playoff game? They are at the stage where they kind of had to reset things a little bit because it has been 8-plus years. It will be 9 this year if they do not win a playoff game, that they have to retrace their steps and tell themselves, well, yeah, we want to win a Super Bowl. you know, the Lombardi Trophy will always be a goal. And they will talk about these six of them that they have in their trophy case. But on top of that, they do kind of have to get winning a playoff game off the checklist first, because that has been what has stopped them more than anything in basically this last decade. 412-928-9370. Tom is in North Huntington. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, Donnie? Big
good
fan.
Thank you. What do you got for me?
First of all, I just want to say I told you so to everybody in Pittsburgh that thought we shouldn't have brought Rodgers in. I've been a fan since the beginning. I'm also a lifelong Packers fan. I knew he wasn't washed up after last year. He was trending upwards. I also want to say I'm really excited about Sunday. I mean, how could you not be? I'm going to the game. I'm going to be there loud and cheering. And I think Rodgers is going to have a couple big plays that are going to be deciding factors in the outcome. Historically, he doesn't hardly ever have back-to-back games that are bad. So after, you know, his performance in Cleveland last week, I don't think he's going to lay an egg this week. And also for the people that think Pittsburgh can't go on a run in the playoffs, if you get a home field game, you can win that. You win one more divisional round. If you get Drake May or Bo Nix in the conference championship, two what, second-year QBs, you're yep. honestly going to take them over Aaron Rodgers? Come on, give me a break. We got a shot.
Well, Tom, and I appreciate the call. I don't mean to cut you off there. I mean, that being said, I know Bo Nix has had some pretty shaky football played this year, and it's been a lot of that Denver defense. I think that Denver defense is legit. I thought they would be one of the best defenses in football. But that being said, Drake May is probably going to win the MVP. Matthew Stafford was right up there with him, but it felt like he kind of played himself out of that on Monday Night Football against the Falcons, if you caught that game. But the Steelers at least have it in their minds of, hey, we've gone into Foxborough this year and we beat that football team. It took five turnovers and we won the game by just one score, but we beat them in their building. So they at least do have that proof of concept of going into a place that will be hostile for a postseason game and knowing that they got that victory. Now, what does that mean if they really reach that point? I don't know how much weight that carries because that happened in mid-September, but it at least happened this season. It's something they can point to and kind of talk themselves into, give themselves more confidence of, guys, we've beaten this team before. We were at different stages of the year, no doubt, but we have beaten this exact team before. Now, we're getting ahead of ourselves if they have a matchup against the Patriots in the playoffs, and just thank goodness that it's not Tom Brady on the other side. Lamar Jackson is going to play for Baltimore. It looks like TJ Watt will play on Sunday night as well. We will get into that more with Ray Fittipaldo at 11, but more of your calls here, 412-928-9370. We'll take a few more before we get to break, but we will be taking these babies all day. I want to get a vibe check on Steelers and Ravens. Are you excited for an AFC North championship game Sunday night? Austin brought up the nugget that for as big as these games have been over the years, there has not been a winner-take-all scenario between the two in the final week of the regular season at any point. And in a rivalry that has spanned about three decades now and has been one of the best in football over that time, that's a good note. That's a cool little footnote on this thing. Jeff is in Latrobe. Now he's on the Fan. What's up, Jeff?
What's all? You're hot today. Hey, who can't get excited about this if you're a Steeler fan? I mean, change can wait till tomorrow. Well, change can wait till Monday. Let's get Sunday night on. I mean, you know, I got friends in Latrobe that you can take their favorite beer to their party and it would be the wrong temperature. So, you know, it was set up. Here it is, never before atmosphere. It should be. Or go root for the Cardinals or something, who never wins anything. But we've become spoiled, petulant fans from all of our past successes. And, you know, yeah, I know all the stuff. I'm almost 70, Donnie. I've been around, you know, the teams in the 70s. We have 12 Hall of Famers on those teams. And that just doesn't exist in today's game. So, damn it, put your Steelers jerseys on, grab an iron, and cheer.
Jeff, that was a great call. A great call from Jeff in Latrobe.
Grab an iron and cheer.
I would have never guessed that he was he said he's almost 70.
No, he sounds like Lightning Ozzie's distant cousin, too.
I would have never guessed. Very youthful in that approach from Jeff in Latrobe. Yeah, I mean, on to the point about the fans being spoiled that he made there, I don't always like when that gets brought up, because I do think that we have a right as people who are fans of the team or cover the team, whatever it may be, we should expect more. We should expect more than just a playoff win every year, or just a playoff appearance and then getting boat raced in said playoff game. I get that point. Like, I don't like being told by people that root for the Jets or the Browns, or I think Jeff brought up the Cardinals, you know, teams that are used to losing a ton, and their fans saying, like, well, you know, you guys are spoiled. You're always right there in the mix. But that being said, this game, in a vacuum, I just don't know how you can't get juiced up for it. Final week of the regular season, primetime game at home, and it's a chance to send your team to the postseason. These are the things that players dream of, and I think as fans, you know, what we do a lot of the time, the reason we are fans is that we want to live vicariously through the teams that we watch. So I think you should be amped up for this game. 412-928-9370. Now, Jeff in Latrobe, he's setting the tone there. He sounds very amped up, and we are still more than 48 hours away from this matchup. Let's hear from Jason in Virginia. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I'm not saying I'm not excited for the game, but I'm trying to be a realist. So you got a geriatric quarterback, be it an MVP, who's later in his life. Who's he throwing to? I mean, so it's like going into a tough man competition. I'm excited for the opportunity, but I know I can't pick a 400-pound dumbbell up. So, you know, I'm excited for the head-to-head. I just don't understand where our weapons are coming from.
You know, you bring up a point there that I did want to get to. Where are the weapons coming from in that game? It has to do with one guy being out due to the suspension, DK Metcalf. Another guy being out due to injury, that being Darnell Washington. Austin, I feel like this game has Pat Freiermuth written all over it. And, you know, if you guys have listened to me before, you know that I have, you know, somewhat of an actual relationship with Pat. So
you and Pat are good friends.
It might be a little biased coming from me, but I mean, you don't see the guy get used really until the last drive last week, and he himself almost takes the Steelers the entire way down the field. This should be a situation where they can't just toss Darnell Washington in the game. They already don't have DK Metcalf. Everybody else that plays wide receiver is either has one foot in the retirement home or just isn't good at football or good enough for the NFL. They have to get the football to number 88.
Yeah. But, I mean, Donnie, we've said that on how many occasions this year? This sounds like a great Pat Freiermuth game. Then he comes away with one catch for 12 yards. Like, until they actually prove that that's going to be the case, like they did in Cincinnati, the best game that Freiermuth had, over 100 yards receiving, a couple scores, just an all-around great performance. I think that game, Pat Freiermuth had a fourth of his yards on the season. In just that one game. Because he's right around, I think, 430, and he had over 100 yards in that game. The Pat Freiermuth breakout game, or at least resurgent game from that one against the Bungles, I feel like we've been just waiting on it and waiting on it, and we saw it in spurts on that final drive against Cleveland. But their inability and their the real word is probably their lack of awareness that he is one of their best true weapons is just appalling to me.
He when the ball gets thrown his way, he very often comes down with it. He has a pretty good percentage when it's like reception to target ratio. And you brought up that Cincinnati game. He did have half of his touchdowns in that game. He had two of his four on the season. He had about a fourth of his yards in that game. Five grabs for 111. He has 435 on the year. He has also just shown, I mean, I'm not saying that the guy is prime Travis Kelce or George Kittle or something like that. If he went to a more modern offense with pretty consistent, good quarterback play, I do think he'd be a pretty damn good player. I mean, he has multiple seasons of seven touchdowns. He had 650 in yardage last year, 653. He had 732 in his second season. Had almost 500 his rookie year to go along with the seven touchdowns. It feels like a game where they actually need, you know, like out of necessity, he should be getting the football. And unlike, say, a Roman Wilson, who we could bring up, who, you know, hasn't proved a thing. I mean, he has two touchdowns this year that are in garbage time. You have actually seen it with Pat, that he can be a very valuable player to your offense if you put the football in his direction.
Yeah, it's disrespectful to compare Pat Freiermuth to Roman Wilson in that light.
Wilson, who may not even play Sunday night, who the hell knows? And if he does, we won't even notice him out there. He played nine snaps against the Browns on Sunday, and you could have told me he never even got a helmet. I never noticed him on one play. I didn't notice him one time in that game on Sunday, and they were throwing to guys like Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Adam Thielen. That's who they were throwing the football to. Roman Wilson is an afterthought to everybody in this offense. I'll probably ask Ray Fittipaldo this in 20 minutes or so. I feel like I ask Ray this almost every time we chat. Roman Wilson might be a guy who's down to his final games in a Steelers uniform because it just seems like he cannot be trusted in this offense. 412-928 9370. Dave is in the north side. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, me and my guys, man, we'll be at the game, and we played ball before, and this is, you don't want anything bigger than this. You don't want, and in the beginning of the season, I was hearing 6-11 and things of that sort. No one thought we'd be here. And for people to, come on, Pittsburgh. This is the NFC North Championship game. We have to be geeked up, man. And don't you think no one has said those Steelers are pissed off from last week, man? They are pissed off. You think we're pissed off? How do you think those players feel? They're coming out there, man, in heart and soul. And we were, it's like 11 of us. And we were seeing them like that. They might boat race Baltimore. Seriously. These guys, one thing that no one has mentioned, our defense, they're talking about Derrick Henry. The best Derrick Henry on the field is going to be Derek Harmon. Because when he's on the field, the run game is nonchalant. And he's going to be on the field. Watt's going to be inspirational. He may not get it. He's not going to be the same Watt as before. But this is the NFC Championship game, man. Let's stop rooting against Tomlin and root for the Steelers. Let's go, Pittsburgh.
Dave, I love the passion there. I appreciate the call. The best Derek on the field Sunday night. Going to be Derek Harmon, Henry.
I want what Dave is smoking, but Donnie, and he can send us some.
And he's going with a potential blowout. Man, would that be a hell of a feeling.
Potential blowout. I mean, they did handle Baltimore for three quarters on the road this year.
They did. That's why I know that some of those calls down the stretch of the game were pretty dicey. And let's face it, if that happened against the Steelers, we would be talking about that the way we still talk about the Jesse James play. But the Steelers were the better team pretty definitively for three quarters of that game against Baltimore, but that's why you play all 60 minutes. But man, I really haven't considered that aspect of it. Like if they came out and won the game like 24-7, 24-10, like they dominate by two touchdowns, that feels like something that nobody is really considering. 412-928-9370. Let's keep this rolling. Some great conversations so far. If you're on hold, I will get to you. I want to get your vibe check on Steelers and Ravens for Sunday night at Acrisure Stadium. You can also join the conversation at that same number, 412-928-9370 on the Fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Can Mike Tomlin outfox John Harbaugh again, or should I ask, will John Harbaugh outsmart himself yet again? Are you worried about Lamar Jackson? Were you actually crazy like me earlier this week thinking, man, do the Ravens have a better system right now with Tyler Huntley at QB? Does Watt need to play a lot for the Steelers to win? You can also get into some of your favorite memories, maybe your favorite characters or villains from this rivalry. Anything is on the table. Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Donnie Football in solo on a Football Friday. No Joe taking the New Year's holiday off and giving himself a bit of a long weekend. Austin Bechtold is with me behind the glass. Austin hosting the evening show last night. I hosted 2-6 yesterday. Now we are together again, melting together for the next 3+ hours with you, as we are nearly 1 hour already into this show. And the crowd is lively, whether it be the callers, the texters, the YouTube chatters about this game, Steelers and Ravens. Do you have the same excitement level that you usually have? It's an AFC North championship game. And we got Steelers-Ravens Sunday night. I think it's pretty hard to not be pumped up for it. 412-928-9370. Will is in Monaco. What's up, Will?
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. What do you got for me?
Hey, earlier you were alluding to crowd participation. I really think the biggest thing in this game is they come out and score on the first drive. I think that states a lot. And if you want to really get the crowd into it and you want to get people excited, don't go 3-and-out on the first drive, because that's when it's going to start to dull.
I think that would really get the place rolling. Like if they, I can't see them winning the toss and electing to receive. I do think it's always a smarter play to defer. But if they get the football first, go down and score a touchdown, there's like 10 minutes to go in the first quarter or something, and the Steelers are up 7-0. That's going to have that atmosphere rocking pretty good. Or the Ravens come out, go 3-and-out, or the Steelers force a punt or a turnover, and then they score. It's been what? Like, it's 67 games in a row, 68 games in a row.
Oh, I think we're approaching 70 now.
That they haven't scored more than 7 points.
Yeah.
In the first quarter.
Do you expect that to change this week?
If I say no, that means it'll happen. So I'll say no.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen. I can't see it changing.
I'll say no, and then they'll come out and they'll score like 17 in the first quarter. But see, here's the other way I feel, and I know that, you know, we don't always like to hide our pick for the game until the very end. Joe and I often get to it pretty early. It is starting to really give me a feel of like a classic Steelers get up off the mat game. You know, it's a little bit different than last week. We got the vibe last week a lot after the Ravens won that game Saturday night that people said, well, here comes the Steelers laying an egg. And they did. This is a little bit different. This is sort of like the post-Buffalo game or the post-Packers game feel to me. The Steelers just had a very disappointing loss in a big moment of their season, and they got up off the mat and they won the football game. They did that against the Colts midway through the season, and at that time, the Colts were the best team in the NFL with the best offense in the NFL, and they had 10 points after 45 minutes of play. And then after that Bills game, everything, all the venom that was in that stadium that afternoon, the Steelers had to go to Baltimore that next week, and the winner would have an advantage in the AFC North. And the Steelers dominated the better part of the first three quarters of the football game, and they won. Did they benefit from a dumb NFL rule? Probably. And we would be upset if that happened to the Steelers in a game. But they won the football game. They got up off the mat and they won the football game. That's kind of what this is giving me a feeling of here, Austin. You know, I know that the Browns, it was such a disappointing loss in Cleveland. And now a lot of the feeling is, oh, Baltimore's going to run them over. Derrick Henry's going to run for 300 yards and run them over. It's kind of giving me more of a feel of when you count these guys out the most, that's when they actually do. Now, that's in the regular season. We count them out in the playoffs, and they do live up to those expectations.
But this is a playoff game. This is basically a playoff game. So, hypothetically, if they came out and were up 10-0 on Baltimore in the first quarter, it would be so stunning because in the first quarters of this drought that they've had, they've been outscored 73-0 in the first quarter of playoff games. So, that really is the difference. We talk about how, you know, you need to finish strong and it really doesn't matter about how you start. But I do think in games like this, when historically we've learned how bad they have started, if not given them a chance to be able to finish the way they want to, a strong start is paramount in this game. Whether it's your first drive or your second drive, your scripted plays that Artie puts together have to be ones that amount to at least 7 points on the first two possessions.
You can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Let's get back to some of your calls. Greg is in Wisconsin. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Donnie. I'm excited for every Steelers game. I don't care if we're eliminated from the playoffs or not. Every chance I get to watch them, I'm excited. But, you know, you can't overlook that it's not just not winning a game. It's not even being competitive. That's all I ask. The narrative would be so much different if we had lost maybe by a field goal or a touchdown. But I agree with Limits. This is a playoff game, and I do feel if we win this game, we will have some momentum going into next week. I mean, I really do. But if we lose this game, clean house. You got to. You cannot keep bringing Mike Tomlin back, and we're just on the merry-go-round of mediocrity. And I had a caller earlier saying we're spoiled. Are you kidding me? Come on now. So you guys have a great day. Go Steelers.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate that call. Something along with that, if they do lose this game, I agree that changes should take place. I mean, I will even agree with that if they go into the playoffs and get blown out like they tend to do. If they win this game and they get a home playoff game and they, you know, maybe get the Buffalo Bills again and it's a similar looking game as the first time, yeah, I want them to make changes, but that doesn't mean they will. Those are two different conversations, and I don't think that big change that everybody wants will happen. It will likely just be, hey, Terrell Austin's contract is up. We're going to let him go. Even though there should be some names out there that were previous head coaches that would make for pretty good defensive coordinators. That's all I'll say right now. 412-928-9370. Rob in Katanning. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I called in earlier, and I got a bone to pick with my man Adam Corrali. I called in under Bobby, and he said, Bobby don't sound like an adult name. It sounds like someone wearing a hat with a propeller. Because I said, I think Steelers are going to focus too much on Derrick Henry and forget about what Lamar Jackson can do, and he's going to shred us up. So I got a challenge for him. Baltimore wins, he got to go by Bobby Adam Crowley on Monday. If they lose, I'll wear a hat to work with a propeller on it, and I'll have my man DJ and Kyle send a picture into the station. Tell me what he thinks about that one.
I like that one. So we can mark that like one it. Down, Austin. 10:58. Crowley has been issued a challenge from Robin Katanning. Yeah, that's sort of a thing as an aside that I have to consider in the years going forward. Like, when do I transition from Donnie to Don?
You don't have to at all. You can just stay Donnie. What's wrong with that?
But I feel like if I'm doing this and I'm like 55 years old and I'm still going by Donnie, that would be...
Who cares? Joey Tribbiani on Friends is iconic for Joey. He didn't just go by Joe later on in life. Why can't you just stick with Donnie?
I transition at some point, just go to Don.
But if that's what you like to be called, who cares what other people think? They should call you what you want to be called.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm not really worried about like that thought, like the public thought. That's just like my own thinking of
when will you internally say that Donnie is maybe a little bit too young for me?
Yeah,
like, you know, like I'm more like of an old soul now.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been an old soul, but like when does that happen? Like when does somebody transition from, you know, Joey to Joe or Donnie to Don or Johnny to John? I feel like that happens at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend named Johnny that we religiously call Johnny, or we call him by his last name, Staley. We're never going to call him John. At least I will never call him John. Unless, like, he, like, tells me you need to. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like if you enjoy the name that you are called, like Austin, but now Limits has taken on a life of its own, where now Limits has basically become my second name. Not even City Limits at this point. It's just Limits. I heard Crowley saying this on the morning show today, where... You know, I've embraced it. I'd rather people call me Austin, but I'm fine if people call me Limits.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably good to embrace a nickname if you're okay. Unless it's like a truly a bad nickname.
Like when he tried to call me Mr. P for like a month.
That one I didn't get. As in Austin P. That's what he was going
for
there.
Yeah, the school.
Yeah.
My dad used to always make that joke. Oh, maybe you should have went to Austin P. I was like, why, Dad? Just because my name's in the school?
Austin P.
You know anything about Austin P other than it's in Texas?
No, I didn't even know it was in Texas. 412-928-9370. A couple of more calls here before we get to Ray Fittipaldo. And we'll keep getting your calls in as the show goes on. Do not let Ray or myself or Austin interfere with you getting involved in the show, because I want to hear what you think about this Steelers-Ravens matchup. CW is out there on the road. The Pittsburgh CW. What's going on?
State lawmakers are raising...
Uh-oh, looks like we lost CW here. All right, so we're going to go to our guy. He called in. You mentioned his name earlier in the show, Austin. We got a very fiery call from Jeff and Latrobe, who so far set the tone. Dave in the north side had a pretty fiery call, too. I liked his. But this is the Lightning Aussie. Lightning Aussie. What's up, man?
Woo! It's time for the Lightning Aussie show. I want to start out to Steeler Nation. Grab your beers, grab your wine, sit down and watch this fabulous game. The key, let me say it again, the key to the victory will be shut Derrick Henry down. Now it's going to be a close one. Steelers win this game 19-13, and we move on. All the rhetoric will be ended. We will move on with a home game. So let's go, Steeler Nation, and Happy New Year.
We got to meet Lightning Aussie at some point.
Happy New Year, Lightning Aussie!
I really hope Lightning Aussie pops up at like a station event that we have at some point. I got to meet the guy.
That would be great.
Because all I picture is somebody who... is, you know, giving his best his best attempt at a Macho Man Randy Savage promo. And Lightning Ozzie does have great calls, because here's what else is impressive. He does all of that, and he never really slips up.
No, he doesn't.
He never slips up on, you know, the promo that he's cutting when he calls in. I also just picture somebody with the intensity that he is speaking at or yelling at. His face is just beet red, and he has veins popping out of his head and neck.
He needs to take a huge deep breath out after he hangs up.
Yeah, like he has a headache after he makes a phone call. So great stuff there. Keep the calls coming. 412-928-9370.
I have a couple of texts here, Donnie. One person reminded me that Austin Peay is in Tennessee and not in Texas. I don't know why I always forget that.
Well, good call on that.
I don't know why I always forget that. But also that there are iconic Donnies like Donnie Wahlberg, Donnie Iris, other Johnnies like Johnny the Barber is out there,
okay.
A texter says.
Okay.
Bobby, like Bobby Rahal Automotive. There are still Bobbies and Donnies and Johnnies that are out there.
You know what? That makes me feel better about all this, especially the Donnie Iris poll. I mean, Donnie Iris is the greatest Donnie in the history of Pittsburgh.
Donnie Shell?
He forever will be. Donnie Shell.
Not Don Shell.
One.
Donnie Shell.
You know what? Maybe I was getting ahead of myself.
You were.
Plus, I don't know how much, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know if Don football goes as well as Donnie football does.
What about Tommies? Like, you know, a lot of people are still called Tommy instead of Tom.
You get the occasional Dougie.
Yeah, Dougie.
Out there.
Or Robbie.
Yeah.
Like my uncle is Robbie.
Robbie Insmakowski.
Yeah, Robbie Insmakowski. Some people call him Rob, but I call him Robbie. My uncle Robbie.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I was premature on that.
Wow, we have a proud Austin Peay University grad that has texted in the show to say, just FYI, it is in Clarksville, Tennessee, not Texas. Proud grad.
How about that? There we go.